Begin the current daf Masechta Tzivah, Daf Chafei. We begin 16 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara introduces the following topic that will relate to our Mishnah on the previous daf. That is, there we mentioned that if there is a rumor about a man that he had an illicit relationship with a married woman, then the halacha is that he's not allowed to go ahead and marry her. If he did go ahead and marry her, then even though there are certain cases that the Mishnah discussed that once you married you could stay, but in the case of a married woman, there it said that he has to be mitzi her, he cannot remain married to her. Now that the Gemara brings Tznan Hasim. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Git. That said, ha-mitzi es ishta mishum shemra, if someone divorces his wife because of the bad reputation regarding that she was immoral when she was married with him, then lo yachzer, he's not allowed to take her back anymore. Mishum neder, if let's say he's divorcing her because of an oath she took forbidding him and her, then lo yachzer, then again he cannot take her back. Now, the Gemara over there in Perek HaShaleach HaGet, in Masechtas Gittin, explains that if we would allow a husband, you're allowed to divorce a woman. Now, but if he's divorcing for these reasons, that and you said that you're allowed to remarry them afterwards, there's a problem that could occur. And that is because if this woman goes, after she was divorced from this man, she goes to a chacham, to a sage, and he finds a way out of the neder. And that is, he asks her certain questions, and he says, would you have taken this oath if you would have known these consequences? And she says, no, I wouldn't have. And he says, okay, that means to say this wasn't really a neder. And then she's permitted, the neder is not an oath anymore. Then the husband that divorced her is going to say, wait a second, if I knew that she had a way out of the neder, even if they would have given me 100 mana, a large sum of money, I would never have divorced her because she was so dear to me. Now, what that would do is that would make retroactively an annulment of his divorce document. Because that means to say, just like the concept like a mekach tois, means to say this is not something that was a full-fledged acquisition. Same thing over here in the divorce. This really wasn't a divorce. I was under a mistaken notion. Now, if that would go ahead and revoke the previous get, if she in the interim got married to someone else and had children, that would make those children mamzerim, because that would mean that she's still really married to that first guy. So therefore, we first tell this person, we say, look, listen, you should know that you're divorcing your wife because of the vow that she made, and you can't tolerate that. We just want you to know that you're never going to be able to remarry her. Now, if she's really as dear to you as you might end up saying later on, go try to find the heter, an annulment of her vow right now. Because if you're going to divorce her at this point in time, it must mean that you really do hate her. And therefore, it's not going to help anymore when you say later on, oh, if I would have known, I would never have divorced her, and hence it's not really a get. It's all lies. And therefore, that's why they instituted the halacha of lo yachzer, to say that make sure right now. Because now you have the choice. Later on, you're not going to be able to remarry her again, because if he had that option, then there can come out this consequence of making those interim children from the other marriage into mamzer. Similarly, regarding the idea of when he divorces her because of the bad reputation that's going on around her, we say you can't remarry her at a later point in time. Similar to the same halacha about the get, is because maybe she's going to marry someone else interim. And then there's going to come out a different rumor that says that really the first rumors were false. She never was immoral, or she never had an illicit relationship when she was married to him. Then the one who divorced is going to have so much regret. He's going to say, oh, if I would have known, I would never have divorced her. I really loved her, just of all these rumors that were going on around her. So therefore, the same idea, we say, lo yachzer. Tough luck. You got to look into this right now. Because if we allowed you to take her back, there can be huge ramifications of consequences to the children of when she ends up marrying someone else, because you're going to say, oh, if I would have known. Therefore, we say, there's no more if I would have known. This is your known. You have the choice right now, and therefore, you can't go ahead and remarry her. Now, on that, Sholachai Rabbi Bar Avuna L'Rabbi Bar Nachman, he said, Yilamdein Rambeinu, let our teacher teach us, Konas Mahu Shayetzi. Now, what is the halacha if he anyway did remarry her? What is the halacha? Do we force him to divorce her? In other words, really, if one looks at it in the biblical context, if you divorce a woman, you can go ahead and she didn't marry and was an interim, you can go ahead and remarry her. Now, however, the Chacham said that we are not going to allow him to remarry. Because if we did, that might cause a problem in the sense that he could say, oh, if I would have known, and then that would retroactively annul the get that he made. And the marriage that was in the meantime makes those children mamzerim. And then he's going to go ahead and he's still going to be married. So we say, lo yachzer, we don't want that situation to happen. But the question is, if he went anyway and did remarry her, which he says, oh, she has a bad reputation, oh, she made this oath, and therefore he divorced her. But then he goes, he has a change of heart and he remarries her. What's the halacha over here? Do we force him now to say that you can't stay married to her because this is what we instituted it for, that we don't want that there could be such a possibility? Or do we say that this situation didn't cause any problems? So, okay, we don't want you to, but if you did remarry her, then you could remain married. So Rabbi Ram Nachman responded to him. He says, Tanina, this is what we learned in our mission on the previous staff, that we find a similar type of concept that could resolve the question that you're asking. The Mishnah said, "Hanitan al ishes ish." If someone has rumors about him that he had an illicit relationship with a married woman, vaytziuhu mitachas yodoy. Now, because of this adulterous relationship, they made this woman get divorced from her husband. Now, that the Mishnah said that af bishakonas, even if then after she gets divorced from her husband, then the adulterer goes ahead and marries her, yaitzi, he has to go ahead and divorce her. He cannot remain married to her. Now, so and that is what Rabbi Nachman was saying. The same thing should apply over here. In other words, in the case that you're asking, where the husband goes ahead and, although he divorced her because of her bad reputation, he goes ahead and remarries her, you have to remove her from her husband. The reason is because, why did he remove her? Because she had a bad reputation. Now, when he acts on that rumor, he's obviously substantiating that he believes that that's a true rumor and that she's forbidden to him. Because if she's Mizana, he can't stay married to her. That's the same idea you see on our mission in the previous daf, where, as the Gemara explained on the previous daf, that this man, when he goes ahead and marries this woman, that there was a rumor about him and that woman that was married, he's substantiating that when he's marrying her. Because, what do you mean, it just happened to be that there was a rumor about you and this woman, and now after that the husband divorced her, you go ahead and marry her? That's substantiating the fact that there was some type of intimate relationship. So we see that because you're substantiating it, you yourself are causing your own downfall that you can't stay married to her. So that the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Rav Nachman is saying, the same thing is in the question that you're asking. He himself, by acting on that coil, on the, that caused her to have a bad reputation, substantiating that he believes that she was Mizana. So if she was Mizana, so that she's forbidden to him, of course you could not go out and remarry her. So you would have to be Maitziar. On that, Omalei, Rabbi Ahuna said to Rabbi Nachman, he says, Mi Dami, is that comparable, the case I'm asking you, to the Mishnah in the previous daf? Hasam Haitzi'uha. The wording that it says in our Mishnah was that Bezdin went and they removed the woman from her husband. That's because, as the wording, as the Gemara had illustrated on the previous daf, the word Haitzi'uhu illustrates, that is Tumat, that there were witnesses that testified they saw the Maisa's Nus. They saw that they saw the relationship. Now, therefore, she becomes biblically prohibited to the boil, to the adulterer, as Rav had explained on the previous stop. So of course, even if the adulterer goes ahead and marries her, he's going to have to go ahead and remove her, because biblically she's prohibited to him. But the case that I'm talking about is Haitzi'aha, where the husband goes and just divorces her. Now, this that it said that in the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, that lo yachzi, he can't remarry her, that's not a biblical halacha, that's a rabbinic halacha. And therefore my question is, still stands, that maybe if he was connoisseur, maybe he was ein mitzin. You can't compare it to that halacha over there, because that is rabbin, that's a deraisa diga halacha, where of course the boil is prohibited. It was a case of Yitzhu where they saw the adulterous relationship. There, even if he marries, he has to divorce. Here in the case that we're talking about was that he didn't have to divorce her. He was just mitzia her because of the koil that was there. And the halacha of layachzer is not a biblical halacha because he substantiated it. It's known that he's forbidden. And therefore, maybe the halacha would be, if he does remarry her, he does not have to divorce her. Now, that the Gemara says that Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman, he responds, he says, he actually has a different girsa in our Mishnah. He says, the girsa is not that the haitzi'uhu, that Bezdin took her away from the husband, which must be in the case of where there were witnesses that testified that they saw the Ming Mizana. Actually, it was that he went and divorced his wife. That means that there weren't witnesses. And therefore, actually, that means to say that she's not forbidden to the suspected adulterer. The only reason why she's forbidden is like the other cases there in the Mishnah on the previous daf, which is because of the rumors that people are going to be saying, oh, it must be that there really was this illicit relationship, which is a rabbinic halacha. And yet, in spite of that, Rabbi Nachman says, you see from there, that the Mishnah says, yaitzi, that you do have to divorce her if the boil goes ahead and marries her. And therefore, he says, that is the same thing, like the question you're asking from the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. Both of them are not verified with witnesses. There was a rumor. Now, each one is having that it's being substantiated by the person that wants to go ahead and now is going to reconsummate the relationship. which here is by the Boil. He's confirming that by wanting to marry her after there was this rumor that the husband divorced her for that reason. And the same thing is over here, that here the husband got rid of her because of the rumors, and by divorcing her, he's substantiating that, and yet still we see in that Mishnah that he cannot remarry her, and therefore the same thing should apply over here, that the husband should not be able to stay married to her. But in that, Rabbi Avuna responds, he says, Vakatimi Dami, is it really comparable? Hacha, here in the Mishnah Masechet is getting the case that we're discussing, that's talking about the Baal. It's the husband that's taking her back. Now, actually, that taking her back is not an obscene thing. In other words, actually, to the contrary. Why is he taking her back? Obviously, because he considers that very likely that the rumors were false, and he regrets what he did, and he's saying, you really are a good wife. Now, Vahasim, but within the Mishnah on the previous daf, that's the Boil. It's the suspected adulterer that he wants to go ahead and consummate that relationship. Now, that's definitely a disgraceful thing, because that solidifies and says that probably there was an illicit relationship, because it just happens to be there were rumors about him, and now he goes ahead and wants to marry her. And therefore, you can't compare the two, that there, the halacha, yes, would be imkanos yaitzi. But here in the case that I'm discussing, who said it'd be yaitzi? Actually, there the sorrow would be maybe the other way around, that it's not such a davar meguna. So Amalei, so Rabbi Ben Nachman responded, and it seems that he didn't fully understand what Rabbi Rav Huna was telling him. He says, no, Shabar Damei Adodi, they definitely are comparable, because both of them are rabbinic. Hacham Rabbanon lo yichnas. Here the Rabban say that don't marry her, but vim kandas yaitzi, and therefore the Mishnah still says in the previous daf, but if you do, you have to divorce. And even though it's a rabbinic halacha, hachanami, I'm rabban layach. So that's because, again, he learns it that girsa is haitziha, that he divorced her, even though he didn't have to, there weren't witnesses, so it's a rabbinic halacha. So therefore, also over here, I'm rabban layach. So the rabban say, look, don't go ahead and take her back. You divorced her because she had a bad reputation, don't take her back. But if he takes her back, therefore yaitzi should be the same type of halacha. They're both rabbinic, especially according to my girsa, he's saying. And therefore we see that each one, if you violate that, you can't stay married. So again, he responds, which it says clear what Rabbi Avun was saying, that it's not a comparison. Because Wallahi, Hasam, over there, meaning in our Mishnah, the previous daf, where the suspected adulterer goes and marries this woman, Alume Alma Kala, he's just solidifying, he's just making it clearer that the first rumor that was there was a true rumor, because look at this, he just happens to be interested in marrying her right now. So there would be problematic that we would say, no, you're making the rumor stronger, even if you marry her, that obviously is showing that there was something problematic and you can't stay married. But hach, over here in this situation that we're discussing, Masechtas Gittin, where it's the husband that takes her back. Actually, the taking back is actually nullifies the rumor. Because Arminan, we say that why is the husband taking her back? Kambe Bekala, that he obviously inspected and he finally did his due diligence and his research regarding the first rumor regarding the bad reputation. And he found out that it actually was not true and it didn't have any foundation, any basis. And therefore, you can't resolve my question from the Mishnah and the previous staff. It could be that there you have to divorce, even if we say like your Girsa, that it's not Haitziuhu, that there were witnesses, then that it's a biblical, even if you say Haitziah. But the point is, the Boil marrying her substantiates the rumor, and that therefore that's bad that people are going to be saying that he committed this violation. But over here, the husband taking her back, yes, there was a reason why we say you shouldn't take her back. That's for a different halacha because of the consequences that could come out. But it's rabbinic halacha. But when you take her back, that's not substantiating the claim of the rumor that she was Mizana and that she's forbidden to him. Actually, it's doing the exact opposite, and therefore maybe there the halacha would be that you would not have to divorce the wife, even though you violated the rabbinic law of not taking her back. Now the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah about what's called lazus vasai, about people talking and saying, something's not right over here, where someone had a major role playing with this woman being divorced from her husband, and then he goes and marries her. So Mishnah tells us, Hamevi get me medina seyam. If someone brings a divorce document from overseas, now that halacha is mentioned in the beginning of Masechtas Gittin, where it says that you have to say, the messenger bringing the get has to say, b'fanei nechtav, this get was written in front of me, and b'fanei nechtav, it was also signed in front of me. And the reason is, as mentioned over there, one of the reasons is because the people out of Eretz Yisrael that live far away are not bekin l'shma, they're not proficient in halacha, that this divorce document has to be written just for this woman with those intentions. And therefore you have to testify that it was written the right way. Now that the Mishnah says, if the person brings the get, and va'amani says, b'fanei nechtav, it was written in front of me, it was signed in front of me, which makes it a kosher get. So that the Mishnah says, lo yisas ishtoi. So therefore this shliach, who was able to fulfill the get, and now this woman's divorced from her husband, he himself cannot go ahead and marry this woman. And the reason is, we're relying on his testimony of Befan Nech Befan Nechtam, since he's a pivotal player over here in getting her out of her husband, he cannot go ahead and marry her. Now, if he says testimony, that he says, mess, I saw that your husband died. Or haraktiv, look, I murdered him, so I know he's dead. Or harganuhu, we murdered him. So that, the Tanna Kamma says, l'yisas ishta. Again, he's not allowed to marry the woman, that person's wife. And the reason is because the way she's allowed to get remarried is based on his testimony. Meaning, if an aide comes and says testimony that the husband died, even one witness, the woman, when she does her due diligence, could go ahead and marry someone else. Now, if he would go ahead and marry her now, that would be a lot of rumors going on, because maybe actually he's lying. It's just that he found this woman that he would like to marry, and he knew the husband went for a trip very far away, and he says, look, I'm just going to make a lie, and I can go ahead and marry her, because she's single again. Now, however, the Tanna Kamma does hold that she could get married to someone else, and that's because one witness is believed for the halacha of a man, when he says that the husband died, for the woman to remarry, and it's because we don't want women to remain agunais. However, for this man, she could not get married to him. Now, Yehudam, he says, haraktiv, if he says, I murdered him, so I know he's dead, then the woman cannot get married, and she not only to him, obviously because this definitely seems like there's some bias over here, but she cannot even get married to somebody else based on this testimony. And the reason is because what's called he's mesim asmei rasha. His own testimony is incriminating himself. Obviously, he's saying that he's a murderer. And the Torah says, al tashas rasha aid, you cannot place the hand of a witness as a wicked person as a witness. So he's not believed in his testimony, and therefore she can't get married based on what he says. Now, however, if he says harganuhu, that we murdered him, tinase ishtai, then his wife, this woman could get married to someone else, and then we'll explain why that's different if he played a role over there, and he was obviously a wicked person helping out in the murder. Now, the Gemara makes the following inference from the beginning of the Mishnah. Taima de medinas hayam. The reason why it sounds like that if he brings the get, that then he cannot marry that woman that he's helping get divorced, is because he brought it from overseas. Like we said, because then we rely on him, because it has to be his testimony that then confirms the validity of the get, and therefore we can't, maybe there's something here that he's doing just so that he can be able to marry her. But it sounds like if someone brings a get in Eretz Yisrael, with it, you don't have to say b'fanei nechtam, because in Eretz Yisrael, they are proficient in the halacha. We're delav alei kesamchina, where they were not relying on him. It has nothing to do. He's just bringing the get. He's not saying anything. Sounds like yisas ishtai, that then he could marry this woman, because then there's no testimony of his they're relying on. He's just doing a mechanical procedure of bringing the get, and then he could marry this woman. Now that, the Gemara asks. But v'hameis, regarding when he comes and says that I was overseas and I saw that your husband died, where they actually were not relying on him. And that's because when this man says that your husband died, just that the Rabbanah allowed this woman to marry someone else is not based on this man's testimony, this one witness. Because the Amamara, like the Master says in Perek Isha Rabba later on, Davtzad Megimel Mabeis, the reason why one witness is believed to have a woman marry someone else now is because she herself, Isha Daika, the woman goes and does her investigation until she finds out for sure that it's true what this person had said, that my husband actually did die. And then the Minsava, then she's able to marry someone else. So it has nothing to do with that he's saying. It's just it allows her to begin her research. Yet Ukatani, and still we learn in our Mishnah Le'isas Ishtai that he's not allowed to marry the wife. How is that different than bringing the get? Both of them are playing a role. Now the role that they're playing is just a mechanical one. There's nothing that we're relying on them. They're not saying b'fanei nechtam, or here his one testimony is not really what's helping her. It's helping her, but it's not what we're relying on. We're relying on her. So how is that different bringing the get in Eretz Yisrael and when he says that your husband died? So that the Gemara says, now Hassam, when he says your husband died, Leka kisava. You're right, it's not him that his testimony that's allowing her to marry someone else. But there is an element of his words, at least, that's beginning the process, because there's nothing written over here that's making her think, you know, maybe this is true. It's what he said. However, hacha, here when you bring a get in there, it's as well, ikka kisava. There's actual writing that supports what he's doing. It's not like we learn in Mishnah Masechet Gittin that brings such a discrepancy. In Mishnah Masechtas Hamavim, and it's also brought later on Kafid Zayinim and Aleph, where the Mishnah there says that even women that are not believed to tell the woman that your husband died, For example, a mother-in-law, or a yavama, or a co-wife, or the daughter of her husband, where they don't like this woman, so they're going to lie so that she ends up marrying someone else, and then when the husband comes back, then she's forbidden to both of them. But although they're not believed, although regularly a woman is believed to say, I saw your husband died, but they, even though these other women are not believed to say that, they are believed to bring her get. Now, although they have to say, b'fanei nechtam, so the Mishnah there says, ma ben get la misa. What's the difference between get and misa? They're both, we're relying on them. So by misa, we say, oh, we don't rely on you. But by get, we do rely. Why? And not only that, she's even saying testimony of b'fanei nechtam, nechtam that we have to rely on. And that the reason is, shaksav mechiach, because the writing is proof. It's showing that we're not really relying on you. Yes, we need you to say b'fanei nechtam, nechtam to reveal that this was writtenly valid and halachically. But it's the writing that supports you. And that's why it's not so much of what you're doing that we're relying on. We're relying on the get. And that's why get in Eretz Yisrael, that we do, the person could go ahead and marry her. Because it's not him that's really facilitating it. Whereas in regards to the case where you say mess, where although yes, you're not the one that's allowing her to remarry, but it's your words that do it, therefore that's a problem. We don't want to rely on that, just like we see by these the mother-in-law and this co-wife, where she's not believed to say mess, but she is believed regarding the get. Same thing over here regarding the man that brings a get. If it's not his words that we're relying on, like in Eretz Yisrael, then he can go ahead and marry her. But regarding when he says that, I saw your husband dead, even though it's not really his words that is allowing her to marry, but it's which is getting the ball rolling, and therefore those element of words is something that we wouldn't allow, and therefore he can't marry her after he testifies that the husband died. Now the Mishnah said from the Tanna Kamma that if he says mes, he died, or haraktiv, I killed him, or harganu, we killed him, le'yisis ishtoi, so then he cannot go ahead and marry this woman. And the reason is, again, because since she's marrying based on what he said, which allows her to marry, so therefore that would be making room for rumors that, oh, maybe he's lying. So the Gemara makes the inference. Hu nihu de'lo'yisis ishtoi, so it's only him that cannot marry this woman. But she could get married to someone else. Meaning if one person says that he died, for sure that case, that's the classical case of one person testifying. But even when he says I murdered or we murdered, which obviously he's saying that there's one witness saying that he's dead. He just happens to say that he killed him. But so therefore she could get married to someone else because obviously he's dead. And that the Gemara adds, but Rav Yosef said the following halacha. He said, if someone says testimony in Besdin, that Polaini Rav'ani La'ainzi, this individual that we're saying testimony on, he sodomized me against my will. Now, sodomizing another man is chayiv misa. So Rav Yisrael said, "Hu va'achem etzdarfen lahargai." So this person, the one that was sodomized, and someone else together who saw what happened, they could both testify to have the reveya, to have the sodomizer murdered because of what he did. But if he says l'ritzayni, if he says that I'm saying testimony about this guy, that he sodomized me with consent. Now, on that, Rav Yosef says, Rasha, so this guy's a wicked person. He was having a forbidden relationship. V'atayru Amr, and the Torah says in Shemayis, Al tashas yadchem Rasha, do not place your hand with a wicked person, liyis eit chamas, to be a thieving witness. Meaning to say that he's not believed in this testimony because he's incriminating himself in the testimony he's saying against that other person. Stephen the Gemara's question is, we see that when you say, Lord Saini, you're a Rasha and you're not believed. So how does the Tanna Kamma say that if he says, I killed him, so you know he's dead, so go ahead, you can't marry me because I'm playing a role in this. Even if I said he's dead, you can't marry me. But you can marry someone else. How can she marry someone else based on what he said? He's not believed in what he's saying. Even for as the element of the Eid Echad, he's not believed because, as Rav Yosef said, he's incriminating himself, so he's not believed. Now, on that, the Gemara says, and if you're going to say, Shani Eidus Isha, that when it comes to testimony for a woman, then it's different. And then, even if he says, Haraktiv, I killed him, there, that he'll be believed, that Kila Barabon, because they're more lenient, you're right. Usually, to have someone murdered in court, that you're not believed, because you're incriminating, Atoshas Yadchem Rasha, he can't say a testimony. But we were lenient, obviously, with women because not only don't we need two witnesses like we usually do, by women to them to get remarried, we could even have one. So maybe we're even more makel. Maybe even a Russia, a wicked person, yeah, we believe in two because we don't want a gunais. And that the Gemara says you can't say that because of Amar Menashe says we continue to Amid Beis. He says, Gazlan de Devrayim, a rabbinic thief, that's, for example, a case of a gambler, where he's not really stealing someone else's money. But as the Gemara explains in other places, Asmach Dolei Kanya, really people did not think they were going to lose that hand that they had, and therefore when they do, they really didn't want to give them money, so the one that's taking those winnings is really a rabbinic thief. Now, Adar Menashe said, so a rabbinic thief is kashul edis isha. He is valid to say testimony regarding having a woman remarry. That is, as the Mishnah says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that any testimony that a woman is not kosher to, which is a regular testimony, then they're also not kosher, even though he's not a biblical gazlan. He didn't actually take money from someone else, hold him up. It's just this rabbinic type of thievery. Then they're still not believed in court. But however, on that, Rav Menashe says, but the halacha is that if it's a testimony that a woman is kosher for example, to say testimony that her husband died, then a rabbinic gazlan is also going to be believed in that case. But however, he says clearly that gazlan the divrei taira, but a biblical gazlan, someone that actually holds up people and steals the money, posle desisha, is invalid even for testimony for a woman. So we're back to the question. How does, according to Rabbi Yosef, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah say that haraktiv, she can marry someone else, which means to say that we're relying on this testimony when he's incriminating himself? And you can't say that our Mishnah is more lenient because it's for women. When we see Rav Menashe, it says clearly that the only leniency we'll do is, let's say, rabbinic Rasha, which is a rabbinic gazlan, like someone that gambles. But a biblical Rasha, someone that actually steals money from people, even for Edus Isha is not believed. So how do we believe him when he says haraktiv? So the Gemara wants to say, name Rav Menashe. So it seems that we have to say that Rav Menashe, who's making the difficulty for Rav Yosef, who he's saying that there's a psul of Edus, even for the testimony for a woman, if it's a biblical problem, like a gazlan de divrei taira, or someone that's saying haraktiv that he becomes a ritzeach, that the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says in our Mishnah that actually when he says haraktiv, she cannot get married to someone else. But don't ask on me, because I don't hold like Rav Menashe, because I'm going like the Tanakhama, where the Tanakhama says that you could get married. Now that the Gemara says, Amar Rav Menashe, Rav Menashe would tell you no. Ano de amri afil rabbanan. Actually, I could even say like Drabbanan, that say haraktiv, you can go ahead and she can marry someone else. But what do you mean? Haraktiv, he's incriminating himself, which is a problem to divrei Torah, and he says clearly that you become posle desisha. So he says, no, because of a time of Drabbanan hochik de Rabba. The reason of the Drabbanan not Mishnah is like Rabba. Now, this is a machlekes between Rava and Rav Yosef, who we mentioned Rav Yosef's opinion on Manalf. So essentially, what Rav Yosef answered, that he shouldn't be difficult with the Mishnah, he says, look, I don't hold like Rav Menashe. Rav Menashe's opinion only goes according to Rav Yehuda. You're asking me from the Tanakhama. That's not difficult, because the Tanakhama actually would hold that it's not a problem. Even a gazlan de retire would be kashal a decision. Now, but the thing is, what Rav Menashe would tell you is that he actually argues on Rav Yosef. He says that the opinion of the Tanakhama is understood according to Rava, who argues on Rav Yosef. Because Rava says, even if this person says that I consented to this person who sodomized me, still Rava says he could combine with another witness to have this sodomizer murdered in court. And the reason is because this intent of his testimony is for the purpose of testifying regarding this other person that he sodomized. Now, he actually did, and that's what he's testifying. Now, although he's not believed regarding the idea that he said that he consented, that's because the Amar Rava says, Adam karavets lasmai. Now, there's a psul of kurva. When one wants to testify in court, you can't say testimony about a brother or someone that's a close relative. Now, therefore, Rava says, the closest person you're going to be is to yourself. And therefore, you can't testify regarding yourself, whether for good or for bad. Now, therefore, ve'ein adam mesem atzmei rasha. A person cannot incriminate himself when he says testimony about himself. Now, Rashi says, although in the Gemara Ba Metzia says the famous Talmudic dictum that Hoidois Baldin is Kamei Edom Dami, when someone says testimony about himself that he admits that it's like 100 witnesses, so Rashi says that's only regarding monetary halacha, to say, to admit that you owe money. But regarding, let's say, a penalty, or regarding a punishment of Malkus, or to become invalid, like in this case that we're discussing, that he's not believed. And therefore, what Rav Menashe is answering is, the reason why the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that he will believe when he says haraktiv is because we actually do what's called paginin dibura. We actually split up his testimony, which is what Rava says. Rava says that although he's incriminating himself when he says, it was consenting, we don't even listen to the word of Lirtzayni. That's not even part of the Eidus. Because you can't say anything about yourself. We almost didn't hear it. What you said regarding yourself didn't happen. Oh, you're speaking about him? What did you say about him? Oh, that he sodomized and he's saying he sodomized? Go ahead. So he gets murdered in court. But the fact that you're incriminating, you actually can't incriminate yourself. And therefore, it's not a Rasha that's saying the testimony because you're not a Rasha because you're the only one saying it about yourself and you're not believed regarding yourself. And that's why when you say Haraktiv, the only thing we hear is that he's dead. Oh, you said you murdered him? Oh, we didn't hear that. Because that's testimony about yourself. And that's why the Tanna Kamma says that the woman could marry someone else. Now, so on that, the Gemara asks, so then let's go back. So, Lamer Rav Yosef, should we say that Rav Yosef, who said that a wicked person who is, when he's incriminating himself, is not believed, must be done with Rabbi Yehuda, must be that he holds a Rabbi Yehuda. First, we thought it was a Menashe said like Rabbi Yehuda. We said, no, he's saying even like the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Yosef seems like he has to be like Rabbi Yehuda, because when you're saying Haraktiv, you're incriminating yourself. And Rabbi Yosef says that when you incriminate yourself, you're not believed. So how could the Tanna Kamma say that you are believed? Oh, must be like Rabbi Yehuda who says Haraktiv, you're not believed. So in that, Amal Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef would tell you, no. I know that I could even go like the Rabbanan. Witnesses that testify something regarding a woman getting remarried, that Rabbana was so lenient that even a wicked person is believed. Now, what that means is because I don't hold a Rav Menashe. Just like Menashe doesn't hold of me, I don't hold of Menashe because this that he said, that by if it's a biblical thing that you're incriminating yourself, that you're a gazlan de Debri Torah, or you would be a ritzech de Debri Torah, oh, then you're not believed. Now, although I say that you could incriminate yourself, but even though you're incriminating yourself, and even a biblical incrimination, you murdered someone, doesn't make a difference, because I hold that we were lenient by Eidus Isha, not only by Gazan the Devrim, but even Gazan the Devritayah. But Rav Menashe, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, must be that Rav Menashe, he's the one that holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, and that's, as Rashi says, that's how the sugya ends, where Rav Yosef says that Rav Menashe, who says that you're not kosher when you're a biblical villain, in the sense of that you're either a gazlan or that you're a ritzeach, that must be, he's like Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Menashe says, oh no, that Rabbi Yosef, who he holds that someone that incriminates himself is not believed to say testimony, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's how each one is able to say that, no, they could be like the Tanna Kamma, but it's the other one's opinion that would make it difficult to say that he's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara continues from the Mishnah that said, Haraktiv. So if the person says that I murdered him, so we just discussed how that's possible according to the Tanna Kamma that he is believed for her to marry other people, but Rabbi Yehuda says that no, she cannot get married to anyone else. But her gnu, but if he said that we murdered him, then Tanasi, then she could marry someone else. So the question the Gemara asks is, Maishna Haraktiv, why does Rabbi Yehuda differentiate when he says that I murdered him, Maishna Harganu, or when he says we murdered him? Either way, he's a Rasha. So however you say it, if it's like Rav Menashe or it's like Rav Yosef, but either way, either you're incriminating yourself or you make yourself a gazlan, you make yourself a murderer, definitely a biblical murderer. You didn't just embarrass someone. You actually murdered him. So what's the difference? So Rav Yehuda says, Bo'imer ani hayisim hargav. You know what that case means? It means to say that I was with the murderers, but I never touched them. I didn't do anything to kill them. As the Gemara says about Tanya, like we learned the Braisa, that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, in this machlekes that's brought in our Mishnah, so the Tanna Kamma, the Chacham has said to Rabbi Yehuda that he doesn't believe, there's no nemanis to the one that says that, oh, I murdered him to let the woman marry. But they said, but Maisa Balistim Echad, there was an incident with a certain bandit, Shayatsu Leharg, that was going out to be killed, B'megizas Kapatkaya, in the crossing of Kapatkaya, which was a place. Vamlahem, and he said to the people, L'chu Amar Lo Le'isha Shimon Ben Kayin, go tell the wife of Shimon Ben Kayin, Ani harakti as bala, I went and I murdered her husband, bichnisasi lelud, when I was going into Lud. And Barmala, some say actually the version was bichnisasi lelud, when he was going into Lud. Either way, it's that she should know that her husband's dead. And the story was, v'siu asishta, and they married off her husband, the wife, to someone else, obviously. They said, not like you. When someone says haraktiv, so then they are believed. Samalahem, he says, Misham Raya, he says, you think it's a proof from there? Actually, the story was Bo'imer when he said, Ani hayisim hargav, I was with the murderers. And that's the case of Hargnuhu, where that type of case, Rabbi Yehuda says, that then he would be believed to let her marry someone else, because actually, it's not like Haraktiv, he didn't do anything, he's just testifying, he saw, he was with the murderers when the husband got murdered. Now, the Gemara asks on the Braisa, But how can you say that about Vahalistim Ketani? Either way, it says that he was abandoned, that was getting taken out to be murdered. So either way, he's still a Rasha. So he's not a Rasha because of the murder, because you're saying that Harganuhu was, he was just together with them. But he's a Rasha because he's a bandit, he's a thief, he steals from people. So still in that case, Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't allow aid Rasha to say testimony, shouldn't allow it just because he's a bandit. I think Gemara says, Shenitfas al Yidei Listias. He was taken to judgment because he was with the bandits, but he actually wasn't one of the bandits, so he wasn't a Rasha. But the Gemara asks, how can you say that? But it says that they did the Bezdin, and they found out that he was wrong, and that he did thief, that he stole, or else they wouldn't go out to take him to be killed. I think Gemara says, Beidina da'iv de'kechavim, we're talking about a court of the idol worshippers. That they don't look into it so much. Oh, they find this whole group, and if some of them are bandits, they take all of them and they kill all of them, and therefore it's not a riot that he was being taken out because he was a bandit, because not necessarily did he steal. And the reason why he's believed is because we don't have any incriminating evidence that he's a Russia, because he says, Harganuhu, I was with the ones that murdered. But of course, if he said that I was one of those who murdered, just like Heraklev, would not be believed, because Altashas, Russia, ate chametz, you can't take someone that's a wicked person to say testimony, even to allow a woman to go ahead and remarry because her husband's dead. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission, again, continuing on the same theme about Laza Svasayim, about rumors about if someone was instrumental in a woman being divorced from her husband, then he cannot go ahead and marry her after that. So the Mishnah says, HaChacham she'asra ze'isha b'neder, regarding a sage that makes a woman forbidden regarding an oath that she took, meaning that she said that all pleasure is forbidden, al baila, on her husband. And she came to the sage and says, look, I took this oath that we're not going to be able to stay married in this type of situation. And he didn't nullify her vow. She came to him and he didn't find a way out. I mean, the husband wasn't made for it, which the husband has the ability to be made for. He wasn't. So she came to the chacham to be materit, which could be done after that. And he didn't find any openings. He couldn't find a way for her to say that, oh, I regret, and that really I would never have taken to such a situation. So therefore, she's forbidden to the husband and they get divorced. So the Mishnah says, Harizah lo yisa'ena. So this Chacham cannot go ahead and marry her now because of suspicion that maybe he could have really found a way and he went and didn't allow her to find a way out because he wanted to marry her. So because of the rumors that are going to go around, he's not allowed to marry her. However, miyana, if she does miyun, which is halacha by a katana, a minor girl that was married off by either her brother or her mother, and then if she wants to have no part of this marriage anymore, she could do miyun on her own. So if she does miyun, oisha chaltza b'fanav, or she does chalitza in front of him, then yisena, then he could marry her. And the reason is mneshu bezin, because he's part of a bezin. And that's because miyun, or chalitza, cannot be done by an individual sage. As the halacha is brought, the chalitza and miyun require three dayanim, and three people are not considered suspicious that they're all thinking about doing this wrong thing, because then they can go to marry her afterwards. It's only one person that then might get turned in the wrong direction, and that's why it wouldn't apply by Mina Chalitza. Now, that theme makes an inference from our Mishnah, that it said that if the Chacham made her usher to her husband, he wasn't Mata the Nether, then he can't marry her after she gets divorced. But Ha-Hatir, it sounds like, but if he did, he was Mata the Nether, she found her a way out that the oath is null and void. And then her husband dies, or he divorced her for some other reason, then it sounds like Yisena, that he could go ahead and marry her, that there's no more suspicion, because he didn't do anything to make her get divorced from her husband. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, so what exactly is the case of our Mishnah? That it was one sage that he was doing the Hataras Nadarim, Chad mi Matzi Mater? Do you think one person is allowed to permit a woman to permit her Neda? But Ba'amar Ribchia Ba'ova, Namar of Amram, he says, Tana, we learned Hataras Nadarim Mishleisha. Permitting a vow requires three people. So obviously, the case that would be talking about that he did permit her, not that he refused, that then he could marry her, must be talking about three people. But the question is, Ve'el B'tlas, if we're talking about three people, Mi Chashidi, are they suspected, meaning in a case when they don't permit it, and then we said when they don't permit it, then the Dayan cannot go ahead and marry her afterwards? But now we learn in our Mishnah that the second half said, Mi'ana Eishachal Tzibafan of Yisena, then he could marry her B'nei Shu Bezin, because he's one of three. So why is it any different in the first case of the Chacham that was Asar Se'isha ben Eder? Obviously from the fact that he could have been Matarit, was talking about that there were three, because you need Hataras number three. So when he made it forbidden, it should still be permitted for him to marry her, just like by Mina Chalitza, because he's 103. So the Gemara says, actually, La'im Bachat. Actually, we're talking about that there was only one Dayan. Now, the question you had was, from the fact that it says that it was Asar, that obviously that he could permit it, the halacha is actually, yes, one Dayan could be Matar Neder. Or could Amr Rav Chisda, Amr Rav Yechanan, in Masechet Nedarim, that he says that, although generally you need to have three people to be Matar Neder, but B'yachad Mumcha, with an individual that's very proficient in these halachas, he could be matan neder. When we're talking in our Mishnah that the chacham that was asur seisha benedu, then he's forbidden. It's not talking about that he was one of three. That's by three laymen. But if it's a mumcha, if someone that's very well learned in these halachas, then even though he's individual, he could be matar. So when such a person was asur, he did not find an opening for her neder. Then, because of the suspicion afterwards, when she gets divorced because of that, he's not allowed to go ahead and marry her. Now, the Mishnah said, Mi'ano Shechaltza, however, regarding Mi'ano Chalitza, where you need to have three people, a Bezdin, then he can go ahead and marry her, even though he refused it and made her get, in other words, made her actually not refused it, actually helped her do the Mi'an, helped her get do the Chalitza, I mean, to get out of that relationship. So the inference of the Gemara is, time of the Bezdin sounds like that because they were a Bezdin, meaning that there were three of them. Habitray law, it sounds like, but there would only be two people, then they wouldn't be believed. Then there would be some suspicion. And then even if, let's say, Min was done with two or Chalitza was done with two, then he wouldn't be able to marry her. But the Gemara asks, Maishna Maditan, what's different from this Brisa that we learned? The Brisa says, Edim, which Edim is even with two witnesses, Hachasumim Alstei Mekach, if they're signed on a field that's being sold, or Valget Isha, or on a divorce document for a woman. So the Mishnah, the Brisa says, Le'chashu Chacham L'davazeh. The Chacham were not suspicious about this thing. In other words, they didn't say, oh, wait a second, you signed on this divorce document, so wait a second, you can't go ahead and marry this woman. Or you signed on this field, it's very suspicious here, you can't go ahead and purchase this from the buyer because maybe this whole thing was made up, it was all concocted, you were the guys who signed, and maybe it was made up. Chacham weren't suspicious, two witnesses signed, just two people. And therefore it's valid. And we don't say that if he was the only one, so it would be suspicious. But two people, not. Now that contradicts the halacha we're saying in our Mishnah, which sounds like it's only because there are three, not with two. So the Gemara says, no. He gufa kamash malan. In other words, yes, even two people are not suspected. It's only when you're an individual, then we would suspect you. Now this that we said that they're a bezdin is not because you need to have three people to then exclude from the suspicion. Rather, the chiddush that we're telling you is because there's not going to be miyun less than three people. And that's because we're telling you lafuke memandam, we're coming to exclude from the one who says, and Perek Beishame later on, Dafkarsayim Mabez, that says that miyun bithnei shnayim. That opinion holds that miyun will be valid even in front of two people. Kamash malon, miyun begimel. That's the chiddush that we're telling you that miyun only works with three, but nothing to do with suspicion. For suspicion, you're removed from that even when you're just two people, like the witnesses, but the reason why we're saying three is just because halachically, Mina Chalitza need three. Now, Ibailu, that the following question. Now, as Rashi says, this question is going back on our Mishnah of a Chacham, and also going back in the previous Mishnah of when someone brings a get. But we said by both of them that you shouldn't go ahead and marry this woman, because there's a suspicion. You're the one that's allowing her to get married, and then maybe you did something that was not appropriate. And that's either you're lying or you're doing something, and therefore you shouldn't marry this woman. Now the question is, Kanas Maho Shayetzi, what's halacha if anyway you went and married her? What's halacha? Do you have to divorce her or not? So we have a machlekes, Rav Kahana Omar Kanas Maitzi. If he married her, you still have to divorce her. Rav Ashi Omar Kanas Maitzi. Rav Ashi says, if you married, you don't have to divorce her. So Tanya Hu Rav Zuti, the Beir Rav Papi, he learned Kedibri Oimer, like the one who says, Kanas Eina Maitzi. He said, like Rav Ashi, that if you married, you don't have to divorce her. Because halachically it's valid, it's just rumors. So Amalei Rabban, Rav Ashi, so Rabban said to Rav Ashi, this that you said, and it seems that others say like you also, that Kanas, if you married, even though you're the sage that didn't allow her to stay married because of finding an opening for the neder, or you brought the get, that if you married, you don't have to divorce, is that Gemara Isvara? Is that a tradition that you have, or was it just out of logic? Samalahu, he said, it's masnitin. He said, it's a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah on the previous stuff, Mechavdal Mabez. We said, Hanitin mishivcha v'nishtachra, if there's rumors about someone that he had illicit relationship with a maidservant and she got freed, or Mabitzka chab niskaira. There was a non-Jewish woman that people are saying things going on, and then she becomes Jewish. So the halacha, the Mishnah says, Harei zeliyichnas. You shouldn't go ahead and marry her, because that's going to substantiate the claims people are saying. But the Mishnah said, "Vim kanas ein maitzi." But if you do marry her, you don't have to divorce her. So Amma, what you see, we continue to have a Chavav Min Aleph, is that Birnana, regarding rumors that people are talking about gossiping, Lemafkinan, we don't make, if let's say the person does go ahead and marry anyway, and we say not to, but we don't remove her from him. Now, Rashi clarifies that it's different than the Seifa of the Mishnah on the previous stop, regarding when it was with a married woman, with there, the rumor was so strong that it caused the husband to divorce her, and now this suspected adulterer is going to marry her. That's very obscene. That's very disgusting. And therefore, there we would say, even if you marry, you have to divorce her. But general rumors, where it didn't cause a divorce, there we would say that we don't remove it. So Hachanam here also, by the Chacham, and the one that brings the get, Bernano Lemafkinan, although we say don't get married, but if he did, as we see in the Mishnah, the previous stuff, that's not going to cause us to make you to be Maitzihar, although initially there's a problem about what people are saying. After the fact, you could stay married to that woman.